Chapter 16. Hero.
What is a god? Bugger if I know, laddie. I've been here longer than most, and I've yet to meet the supposed all-powerful beings that control the place. The god of the library isn't the librarian, or at least isn't always the librarian. The patron god of the library is the one who needs it, who claims the necessity of a place of stories and souls and is willing to build it. Sometimes that's the librarians and curators, sometimes that's the storytellers, but sometimes it's just you, the reader, who found your wild and winding way here to the pages. You have a library inside you, do you not? Stories told and untold. That is the power of gods.
Librarian Bjorn the Bard, 1686 CE. Romeo. Hero's voice was low and dry.
You take me to the most romantic places.
Only the best for you.
Rami deadpanned, to Hero's delight. He really was having the worst effect on the angel. Rami was in danger of developing a sense of humor. It was a thoughtful gesture, giving something else for Hero to focus on, besides the damp stone walls that swirled up around them like jaws closing. Hero's stomach did a lurch as Rami's transit, teleport, flight, whatever, landed them on solid ground, which quickly turned to wet ground.
My boots!
Hero lifted one foot, then the other, to no avail. Water flooded the labyrinth hallway and sloshed around their ankles. A scent like aquatic death, brown and blue and dark as a cave, hit his nose, not dissipated at all by the open sky above them. It was the smell of wet clay and dead things caught in the reeds. Hero caught an acrid edge that burned the inside of his nose. First things first, we need a realm, Claire had announced, as calmly as one would order a glass of wine. Of course she'd had the worst, most run-down, godforsaken one in mind. The abandoned labyrinth realm that had nearly killed Claire the first time around hadn't exactly improved with time. They were supposed to slip in, see if the god of the place was still in a cannibalistic mood, or if it wouldn't mind a few million soulish neighbors. Immortal squatters. That's what we're reduced to, Hero thought grumpily. Of course, Rami had volunteered immediately, and then Hero had to come, to make sure the labyrinth didn't acquire a taste for angels. The feathered edge of Rami's coat dampened and darkened as he leaned down to inspect the flooding with a frown.
You never mentioned flooded sections.
The labyrinth was too busy being flooded with ghosts and terror to bother with something as inane as water. Is this flooding from that damn river?
Hero took another step and winced.
More important, why was I not written with waterproofing? This is going to ruin the lining.
You were a villainous king. You could afford new ones.
It didn't take much to encourage Hero to play along. He pulled out a brilliant smile.
Nonsense. I had servants to carry me everywhere.
Rami's snort was fond, and he slid past him before Hero could hold out his arms.
I followed Claire's trace. We should be near the center of the maze.
And near the Minotaur.
Claire defeated it,
Rami reminded him.
You haven't read enough fairy tales, dearest.
Hero patted him softly on the cheek as he peered around the corner.
Defeated doesn't always mean dead and gone.
The flooding continued unabated, turning the open arena at the center of the maze into a lake. Hero had never been this way before, but he recognized the circle of pillars jutting up into the sky from Claire's description. This would have been the center of the labyrinth,
the place she faced the monster at the middle of the maze and realized death had been a companion all along. The labyrinth had played its tricks on them both, before Hero had been magically yanked away by the IWL. He'd escaped, but not before facing a reminder of the story he'd left behind. Owen, the closest thing he'd had to family in a story in a book that no longer existed. If he picked too much at that open wound, it would bleed again, and Hero didn't have time to bleed. Still, it was better that he be here rather than Claire. Rami hadn't wanted either of them to return to this realm, but someone had to go who had been inside the labyrinth. Someone who knew the tricks and taunts the place played on a mind, and who had walked across the back of the cannibal crocodile god they'd come to seek out. That logic didn't warm the chilly water sloshing in his boots now. Hero was beginning to lose the feeling in his toes, but at least it would win him sympathy when he got home. Faint ripples in the water traced away from him as he stepped into the arena. Ripples that stretched out and rebounded against anything that broke the surface, sending a thousand crisscrossing tiny waves across his path. They didn't seem to abate. The water had a kinetic energy to it that Hero didn't trust.
There.
Rami had drawn his sword without Hero's notice, though he hadn't lit it yet. He gestured, and Hero followed the line of the blade to the shadow of the far wall. It had an uneven shape, and Hero had to squint until he could separate the long shadows from the outline of a tattered hulk, half submerged, leaning against a pillar. Hero exchanged a look with Rami, then edged forward before Rami could advise caution.
Walter?
To be fair, Hero didn't call out too loudly. Who knew what else lurked in this place? But if Claire's story had been right, the Minotaur that guarded the center of this realm was its gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper of every afterlife realm was death. In hell, death happened to sport a ridiculous cockney brogue and the name of Walter. That would have been preferable. Rami grunted a warning in his ear, the only indication he'd followed Hero's lead. How did an angel so broad and trudging move so damn quietly? Hero was supposed to be the elegant one. But he splashed along in soggy boots while Rami moved silently. Hero let his annoyance make him brave. He took another step across the arena.
Walter?
The water before him churned into a hash of ripples as the dark shape shifted. Great curved ram horns sat above a misshapen head. Hero let out a breath.
See? I told you Claire couldn't kill him. Fairy tales,
Rami muttered, as Hero quickened his step forward.
Walter, it's no time for a bath, old boy.
The smell that assaulted Hero's nose as he drew closer said the Minotaur could have used one. He drew to a stop. The creature was a bulbous mound of puckered skin and shaggy fur, and it had a mangy, rotted appearance in some places, possibly from the damp, Hero surmised. A peculiar clump hung, as if it had sloughed off his shoulder. Hero coughed delicately.
Though you do look in rough shape. Hero,
Rami warned, and the mound moved. The Minotaur turned to face them. It wasn't wet or mold. There was no denying the way the muscles of the creature's great jaw sagged with rot, revealing tea-stained bone beneath. One eye socket was a gaping wound, torn and ragged at the edges. As the creature shifted, a viscous liquid the color of ink dribbled past the flap of skin to dilute in the water below. It paired with the intact eye, which wandered before latching onto them with a dull, hungry gaze.
That's not Walter, Death would have abandoned this place once Claire took his gate from him.
The hiss of Rami's blade igniting into flame startled Hero into action. He stumbled back and Rami put an arm out to step forward.
Then what is it? I suspect the only thing left here.
The tension in Rami's voice turned Hero's head. The white webwork of a skull, nearly as tall as the walls themselves. It leaned against the wall near the entrance, initially hidden from their sight by the curve of the exterior. It was propped at an angle, long jaw studded with teeth the length of a blade. A terrible thought made Hero glance back and spy the dry pebble of scaled skin around the minotaur's working eye.
The mad crocodile? The god,
Rami corrected grimly.
But,
Hero glanced between the rotting minotaur that was attempting to pull itself upright and the skull.
How? You can't just remove a realm's gatekeeper without repercussions.
Rami shook his head, nudging Hero to circle toward the middle of the arena in order to keep more space between them and the minotaur. It thrashed to its feet, churning the water as something darker and bilious streamed off its fur. It had a dragging gait, as if its limbs had been waterlogged for too long, but it turned its one eye in their direction and let out a wet howl. Hero edged back and reached for his own sword.
What repercussions? If I had to guess.
Guess fast!
Claire defeated Walter the last time she was here and escaped using his eye. Walter, as Death, is the gatekeeper. A gatekeeper that's been defeated serves no purpose. Walter left, and without a gatekeeper, this forgotten realm was marooned even more than it once was. No accidental souls stumbling through to feed its hungry god. A hungry god can get desperate.
It was already eating people. How much more desperate are we talking about?
Desperate enough to possess the corpse of their gatekeeper in order to eat itself.
Delightful. No wonder this asshole lost believers.
Yes. Well, perhaps we should reconsider our intent for negotiation.
If we wait for a landlord who will not eat us for his own benefit, we'll be realmless forever, Rami. Leto told me about this once. It's called capitalism. Hero started forward. You there! Remember me? The minotaur swung its single black eye in their direction. A grinding noise like bone on bone, greased with despair, howled from its chest. It lurched in their direction, sending fetid circles of waves across the water's surface.
Disgusting.
Hero leaned forward.
Come now, you talked enough last time. Remember? Be judged.
He tried to reproduce the horrible skull rumble the crocodile god spoke in the first time he'd entered this realm, but fell short. As if offended, the minotaur used a giant claw to bat the boulder between them across the arena. Hero leapt back and nearly fell over his soggy boots. Rami caught him by the shoulder before he could end up ass first in the water.
He doesn't seem open to this capitalism.
You caught that, did you? No matter. Hero regained his footing, starting to pant for breath.
We have swords! Finally, for once. I don't doubt your skill,
Rami said carefully.
But what exactly do you imagine happens to a realm when a god falls without another to replace it?
Oh. Hero flinched as something crunched under the minotaur's thick hooves. You may have a point. Run like hell? Rami yanked him back as the last of their precarious rubble barrier fell under a blow.
Go!
Trying to run through calf-deep water was not an elegant task, less so when the wall they'd been hiding behind collapsed in their wake. His boots were waterlogged and too tall to kick off, so Hero could only pretend he wasn't flailing like a wet blanket as he ran. Rami stayed behind him, guarding their retreat. The swamp water smell turned from methane to acrid oil as Rami ignited the flame along the edge of his sword. They retreated down a long hallway and had just cleared the next intersection when a new section of wall crashed into the water. The Minotaur wasn't going to give up pursuit that easily. Hero skidded to a stop at the center of three branching paths, and Rami barely avoided colliding with him.
"Do you remember the way out?" Rami asked.
"Do I?"
Hero wheezed.
"It's a labyrinth."
A bilious wave soaked Hero up to the hip, causing them to both turn toward the way they'd come. The Minotaur swayed at the end of the corridor, a shaggy blot against the waning forever twilight of the sky. It swayed, musculature having desiccated enough that it needed to support itself on one arm. But that still left one fist the size of a carriage to punch the wall as it began to lurch their way. It picked up speed quickly for a creature that was half hate and rot.
"This way."
Hero tore down the right hallway at random. The flooding continued as they rushed down one maze path and then another. They passed several shadowed stairwells, but Hero knew better than to trust them. The last time he'd been here, stairs had only led to illusion and trickery. The maze continued unabated, but the waters had made the rough paving stones treacherous. Rami's next step met empty water, and he stumbled face first into a small sinkhole. Hero managed to avoid it, but they lost precious seconds of their lead as Rami righted himself, oily water cascading down his trench coat of soggy feathers.
"I do not like this place,"
Rami muttered. He wiped silt from his face as they ran.
"Don't be a wet blanket. Aside from the cannibalism and certain death, it's not so."
Hero twisted around the next corner and stopped as the path in front of them ended at a solid wall. Well, that wasn't fair. A frustrated whine rose up in his throat.
"I do not like this place."
The churn of the water grew more violent and frenzied, and a grating sound grew as the Minotaur attempted to shove itself between the narrowing hallway walls behind them. Hero drew his sword, and his shoulder brushed Rami's as they backed up against the unforgiving wall.
"Strike for the eye. It's our best chance,"
Rami said quietly. The line of his jaw was underlit with the eerie blue flame of his sword. Tense, but somehow beautiful. Hero should say something, something snappy, something flippant or tender, but above all, something with wit. But the icy water had seeped into his bones and drowned his humor. They squared off. The lumpy shadow of the Minotaur lurched and grew as a gnarled hand gripped the corner of the wall. Stone broke beneath the claws, shuddering down in a hail of rubble and dust that momentarily threw a smoke screen between them and their pursuer. Rami took a sharp intake of air, and abruptly, Hero was yanked into a run toward the monster. He must have made a strangled sound because Rami shouted,
"This way!"
into his ear before shoving Hero through the crumbling wall. The space on the other side angled upward, and it took Hero a beat to recognize the staircase. He recoiled, running into Rami's shoulder in the small space.
"No, terrible idea."
"Worse idea is right behind us,"
Rami said, with a granite streak in his voice that wasn't going to be argued with or refused. The revealed stairwell that had been hidden behind the wall was tiny and forced them both onto the steps to dodge the claws as the Minotaur revenant tried to widen the hole. Hero felt like a mouse cornered by a giant moldering cat. Rami nudged him.
"Up we go," This is a terrible idea,
Hero repeated. He allowed Rami to herd him up the steps at a plodding pace, since they were safe for a brief moment. The alcove was too tiny to admit the monster that chased them. Tiny and far too convenient. Hero had learned not to trust anything convenient in this place. Convenient merely meant the Hungry Realm had thought up a new and delightfully innovative method to torture you. Still, he climbed the steps with a cautious preparedness. The last time he had been here, the labyrinth had taunted him with doorways that appeared to lead back into the world of his story. Places where he'd grown up, people he had loved, and all of it had never existed. Only Claire, with her bloody-minded will, had kept him on this side of the threshold. Still, it wasn't as if he was going to fall for the same tricks twice. He knew the tricks now. Easy enough to resist. And, a pathetic voice added in his head, your book is gone, anyway. Maudlin brooding would have to come later, when he had more dramatically appropriate lighting and less soggy pants. They emerged from the curving stairwell into a second floor of hallways that shouldn't exist. The walls terminated a few feet above their heads in crumbled ruin. The sky was sour gray and choked with mounds of stagnant, ash-colored clouds. It seemed lower and oppressive, pressing in on them from overhead, as if the entire realm was a trap closing shut around them.
I am not one to easily admit defeat, but I can gracefully chalk this pit up to a loss. Hero said, why are we not going home now? I want to make sure we're far enough away from that beast that we don't take anything back with us.
Rami had sheathed his sword for the flight up the stairs, but had the blade out and ignited again. It served only to give every crack and crevice in the lonely hallway a sickly flicker.
At least our feet aren't wet.
Hero stopped at the landing and scuffed the atrociously nondescript stone pavers. Time had worn away all color and detail from this place. It was almost like a realm forgetting itself.
I'll scout ahead.
Rami strode down the hall with a confidence he had only when there was a weapon hilt in his hand. The movement threw faint, tilting shadows as he stopped to cautiously check every crack larger than a finger's width, as if the Minotaur was just waiting to pop out. Hero followed at a wary pace. The farther they drew away from the stairs, the quieter the percussive thuds became. Too quickly and too quietly for normal acoustics, the air turned silent. And it suddenly felt as if they'd been transported to a new and forgotten section of the labyrinth. The hallway had been endless when they'd entered it, but abruptly Rami was framed by a pool of pristine light spilling around the corner. No, not a corner. A doorway. It was a doorway that had not been there a moment before. Rami half passed it before twitching with a double take. He began to lower his sword. Hero jolted into a sprint to close the distance. Don't look! But it was already too late for such asinine advice. Rami fully faced the door, and his craggy face smoothed into something softer and, strangely, younger than Hero had ever seen.
Ramiel!
Rami had been told about the illusions that Claire and Hero had faced. He wasn't a stupid man. Hero would not fall in love with a stupid man. But that was the way illusions worked, by being attractive enough that reason didn't matter.
Oh, Creator,
Rami whispered in a gutted, home-hollow voice, and Hero immediately knew what he must see. Rami took a step just as Hero lunged for his shoulder. Hero caught the hem of his sleeve, which yanked him sideways as Rami stepped through the doorway and the world went sideways. The other side was a fractal of light. Hero squeezed his eyes shut as he was pulled across the threshold. He threw his hand out and said a silent prayer of thanks when his hand found stone strong enough to grip. Gravity tossed them about until Hero was wedged in the doorway, one hand holding on to the threshold by his fingertips, while the other clutched Rami's coat.
"Let go!"
Rami's voice was rough and desperate. His big hands began fighting at Hero's closed fist, trying to extract himself.
"We're almost there."
"No, we are not. Wherever you think we're going, we are not. It's an illusion, Ramiel."
The doorway was no longer a doorway, but a portal perched above something. Hero didn't dare open his eyes. Rainbow fractals blinded him even through his closed eyelids, and he knew that if he lost hold of the doorway, they'd fall into some greater illusion forever.
"Heaven is not an illusion, Hero. Hero, please."
Rami's struggling changed to begging as his hand found Hero's wrist.
I can't describe what it's like in the place of the Creator. I don't know why we've been given a second chance, but please, let me just show it to you."
The desire in Rami's voice shattered Hero's certainty. It wasn't desire in the normal, carnal sense, as Hero was familiar with it. No, Rami's voice rung with the desire for salvation. The painful desire to be whole. The belief that the answer to everything was at hand.
"It's not real, Ramiel. Rami!"
Hero kept saying his name as if he could keep a hold on him through identity alone.
"It's not."
"How can you say that? Of course the Creator is real. She's been missing, but now she's here, Hero. I found her. If we go back with her, they'll have to let us in. The Creator, she can fix you, Hero."
Hero
said through a strained breath. He found his voice impossibly small.
"I am not broken."
"Oh."
Rami's voice was rough and hollow, as if he'd been punched. He stopped his struggling momentarily.
"No."
He drifted at the end of Hero's reach.
"No, of course you're not."
"And you're not either."
Hero could feel his fingers slipping. If Rami started to fight him again, there was no way he would retain his grip. He felt his heart slipping from his ribs.
"You're whole as you are, Rami. You're not broken. You're not waiting to be forgiven. You are you. You are loved, just as you are."
Feathers slid between the knuckles of his fist. Hero's stomach lurched.
"Please."
He didn't dare open his eyes. Hero knew instinctively that this doorway was entirely for Rami alone. If he looked, maybe his mind would shatter like a mortal's against something divine, or maybe he'd be lost in the same illusion entirely. Either way, that would mean losing Ramiel. So Hero didn't open his eyes, and he held with the barest of fingertips to Rami's sleeve. He didn't know what Rami saw in those moments, or what expression he wore when Rami's rough hands clasped around his wrist again. The angel's voice was hoarse but real, alive.
"Pull me up."
His hands were rough with calluses and hot as life on Hero's arm. He pulled. In gratitude, he pulled with every fiber of his being and dragged Ramiel away from the wonders of paradise and back to hell. Chapter 17. Claire.
Failure.
No, stop. There is always another way, another path. Think, Yulia, think. Librarian Poppaea Yulia, 48 BCE. Claire was not hovering. Of course not, Claire did not hover. However, with one of, no, now two of her people off to try to cajole the god that had tried to eat her, Claire decided to maintain vigilance at Walter's desk. Vigilance, yes. That was it.
Ma'am, you're making the jaws jiggle something fierce.
Walter's howling baritone succeeded in sounding both apologetic and plaintive at the same time. He had one of his massive hands steadying a shelf, and Claire flicked her gaze down to where she was rapping her knuckles on the desk, distractedly, and with force, and had been for some time, judging by the pain in her hands. She clasped her hands together to still them. Very sorry, Walter, I was somewhere else.
This is a place for somewhere else's,
Walter said, shoulders relaxing. He paused to straighten each jar just so on the nearest shelf before dusting his hands off.
I take it you and Miss Brevity got yourselves an idea, then.
A bad idea. But then most of ours are, Claire grimaced. Your judicious inattention was helpful, Walter.
Glad to hear it. And also don't have any idea what you're gabbing about.
Walter put a finger to the side of his nose. Of course. Claire smiled ruefully. In any case, Hero and Rami are off procuring, well, you could say, a room of one's own.
Oh, good for them.
Walter slapped the counter, which sent boisterous vibrations rattling the jars again.
I was rooting for them. And you, of course. Those relating ships you humans get up to was always kind of fuzzy to me. But
not like that. Claire bit down on her laughter. A shame Rami wasn't here. She would have paid good money to see the Watcher blush. I mean a realm. They're scouting for the library.
Oh.
Walter's face fell into craggy consideration.
So you're following in Mrs. Poppaea's path?
Of a sort, Claire smiled ruefully. Hopefully with more success.
You thinking Mr. Ramiel and Hero will find a realm?
With any luck, Hero could talk his way into London Tower.
And you figured out the god thing?
Claire hesitated at the waver in Walter's deep voice.
The god.
The jars in the office rumbled with a deafening chime as Rami and Hero returned. Claire felt the nerves that had been squeezing her chest ease, and she schooled her face before turning around.
I presume, since you dallied, that means you were successful.
Claire stopped short. Hero and Rami were sodden from the waist down and smelled distinctly of algae and bile. They both had the waxen survivor look that places like the Dead Labyrinth realm tended to impart. But that wasn't the part that caught Claire's voice in her throat and pierced her heart. Ramiel's feathers were white. One imagined an angel's feathers as white. This wasn't that. Angel feathers were supposed to be soft, immutable white, the pristine, untouched shade of hopeful, holy things. The bits of feather and fluff remaining to poke out ragged between the folds of Ramiel's trench coat were the white of nothing. Each pinion was a hollow cell, and the barbs of each feather stood out like lace ghosts. His comfortable gray feathers had turned translucent. Rami, Claire started, then stopped again. She looked to Hero, half expecting him to be holding the angel up. Rami was standing on his own strength, much like a body rigors into death. Hero kept a hand and an inscrutably soft gaze on him. Claire reached out tentatively. Her hand hovered above a clutch of ghost feathers on his chest, but was afraid to land. "What happened?" she asked Hero without removing her gaze from those feathers.
"We slipped through one of the labyrinth's cracks."
Hero's answer was serious and subdued. It was worse when Hero was serious. "Ah." Claire dropped her hand by fractions.
"Heaven."
Rami's voice was a husk of its former self as he answered the unasked question.
"I saw the Creator. She was home, whole. She looked at me and I..."
He stopped short, craggy features appearing to crumble into the shifting sands of grief. He closed his eyes briefly.
"I turned away." "It was an illusion, love,"
Hero repeated softly. She had sent them on this errand. Beneath Claire's palm, Rami's chest was still solid and warm, still as real as his feathers weren't. She felt him shift awareness. His eyes focused on her, still silver gray and angelic, and perhaps even more heaven-lost than usual. Now was the time he would need her to say something philosophical, something restorative and true. Both of them looked at her like they were waiting for a lifeline of wisdom, a deeper truth to make what they'd seen make sense. But that would just be placing her understanding above their own, giving Rami another god to look to. And Claire felt nothing like a god. Her back hurt too much, for one. So instead, she said, "To hell with them, then. Bugger realms and bugger the gods that made them." Rami startled beneath her fingertips, and Claire's smile felt brutal on her lips. "Let's burn them all behind us." Chapter 18. Hero. "I tried reasoning with them. The other librarians, the others on the Sisyphean Hill. It was all for nothing. Oh, they listened. The librarian of Xi'an was sympathetic. Indralok maintained polite disinterest throughout my entire passionate appeal. Even the thrice-cursed Summerlands librarian was kind enough to serve me tea. Do not drink the tea. But that is where the professional courtesy ended. Not one of them was willing to risk angering their host realm by supporting my cause. I wasn't even asking them to rebel with me. All I needed was some symbolic gesture, some crumb of unity to threaten Lucifer with. But no, they were timid as sheep and twice as stupid. All sympathetic noises and courtesies right before leaving me in the dust of their doorstep. Even Elysium, a realm I dreamed of all my mortal life, was nothing but an echo and empty promise. Not yet, my ass. Big puddle of cowardice. I get nowhere talking to the librarians, and there's nowhere else to take my appeals. I am fated to do this alone. Alone in the library, and alone standing before hell. No, that's not right. There's Revka. I have Revka. I must not forget that." Librarian Poppaea Iulia, 48 BCE.
"Well,
don't start."
"Start what? Can't a man feel sentimental? You and me? The open road?"
"Hardly open. I should have been suspicious when Bird agreed to ferry us," Claire pointed out as she wrung the water out of one pant leg. It was still an odd sight to see Claire in pants. Hero pressed on.
The open road, which happens to lead through a muddy lake, dragging me along on a ridiculous quest.
Technically, if anyone is being dragged, it is me. Brevity asked you to go as the apprentice librarian.
Does that make you my assistant? Do you have to do whatever ridiculous impulses fly through my brain for once?
Hero clapped his hands.
Delicious. First,
Hero. If it was possible to sigh his name, Claire did it. He relented, extending a hand to help her up onto the grassy bank. His high boots had kept out the worst of the lake water, but the heels were caked in mud and made the most undignified squelching sound when he moved. Claire's damned pet raven had indeed ferried them safely through the raven roads to Valhalla, but had been less than considerate depositing them in the mud and gravel shallows of a mountain lake. Valhalla had been a logical first choice, a friendly first choice, at the very least. It was the only realm with a former librarian still in active residence, as far as Hero knew, and they'd already allied with Bjorn the Bard once before. If any wing of the library would be amenable to joining their little rebellion, then the sagas of Valhalla would be it. Rebellion. A secret burst of energy thrilled through Hero's bones at the word. Finally. Finally, here was something Hero was an absolute expert at. Rebellion was something he knew, down to his bones, down to his book. No. No book now. The world where Hero had been a rebel hero, then a reviled antagonistic king, was gone. That world lay in ashes on a lonely cliff in the Dustwing. But Hero was still here. His memory and experience of fighting a rebellion, raising forces, making alliances, those still lived within him. This was something real that he could give to the library, to Claire, to Rami, to all of them. Hero was determined not to leave until he'd secured their alliance. Even if he and Bjorn had not exactly hit it off the first time around. Are you well? The sudden, uncharacteristic concern in Claire's voice brought Hero around to the task at hand. She had finished shaking the mud and bog water from her shoes and had a scrutinizing look on her face. The Raven Roads are nothing to me after the Dustwing. Hero winced at how quickly his voice went from braggadocio to honesty. He straightened and tried again.
I lost my book, after all. What possible terrors could the Raven Road conjure to top that?
The road is an expert at torturing souls, Claire said skeptically.
Still not used to having one of those,
Hero muttered. It was a peculiar watercolor of emotions, having a soul. It felt like the ground dropping out from under you, the stable anchor of knowing your story gone. It felt warm, like a kind of love. Meeting Claire's eyes and knowing the undefinable something that made her brilliant also resided in him. He felt seen. He felt exposed. And all the emotional color of it muddled up to leave him confused. He thought it would be different somehow, losing his book, becoming something else, having a soul. But all he'd seen on the Raven Road were the things he now had left to lose. Rami and Claire foremost, and the different ways that loss would kill him. Brevity and her unflagging belief in the goodness of everyone around her, the damsels, the library. Home. That was it. That was the loss the Raven Road taunted him with in the abyss. The loss of home, belonging to no story at all.
Shall we?
Hero extended his elbow, not bothering to find a more elegant change of topic. One of the true graces of time was no longer feeling the need to outquip Claire all the time. Most of the time, yes. But that was just for the pleasure of it. Claire looped her arm through his, and they began the long descent through the mountain meadow together. Valhalla was an alien world to Hero. He was a fighter, and therefore could recognize the trappings of warrior culture that Valhalla was decked in. But whether by influence of pop culture or belief, it was like a war game in Technicolor. All the blades too clean, bearded men too loud, ale too fizzy. It was the kind of place that may have started as an afterlife reward for the devout, but warped, over time, to something that might have been found in one of the comic books of the Unwritten Wing. Yes, he'd started reading the comics section. He'd been reading a lot lately. It was weird living alone in your own head for the first time. Reading helped. The doors of Valhalla's main hall were banded with gold and ribboned with carvings of every kind of creature adorning a great central tree. A serpent twined around the roots. Hero hadn't noticed that last time. It appeared as malevolent as the dim wind chime of bones hung above the arch. Claire pulled them to a stop at the bottom of the steps leading up to the doors. She crossed her arms and squinted up at the rafters of bones and birds.
Arlid, she called.
The black birds chattered into a sullen silence.
Arlid, I lack the patience to play this silly game with you right now. Don't play silly buggers, you brute.
Perhaps amp up the imperialist voice is not the way to go, considering the British history with the Norse,
Hero murmured under his breath as a raven dropped its soil directly onto the step in front of them.
Filthy creatures. I can't help the way I speak. It is cold, proper English. And I suppose you have a better idea?
Claire made a sour face.
Technically, they did most of the invading.
Most? How novel for you.
Hero cleared his throat, removed his jacket, folded it, and placed it in a disbelieving Claire's arms. Unencumbered, he pursed his lips into a whistle as he jogged up the steps. He made it one step farther than he had expected before a whistle of air through feathers stopped him. He had just enough warning to plant his toes, drop the hilt of his sword into his hand, and pivot. A steel weight met his, and the burn in his shoulders felt glorious. Hero dug in his toes and shoved the raven woman off. Arlid, sleek as a stiletto in leathers and feathers, grinned at him wickedly. She spun, nimbly sliding down a step to rise again on his flank. Movement was a joy. It felt like a treat to have the weight of a hilt in his hands again. Hero had the misfortune of being perpetually caught up in situations without his weapon, and though Rami sparred with him often enough, there was nothing to compare with the feeling of catching guard against guard with someone who would gleefully spill his guts. Arlid wielded daggers, shorter but wicked and long enough to catch the basket of his hilt and throw him off. They pivoted and danced up and down the steps for what seemed like only seconds before they were interrupted. Claire's bag hit the dirt with a thud.
This is nonsense, and while I expected it of Hero, Arlid, you should know better. The paper man wanted to play, Arlid said.
It took her a long moment before she regretfully sheathed her daggers. Hero, even more regretfully, did the same with his sword.
Why did you bring the featherless scholar?
She asked plaintively of Hero.
Claire is my assistant,
Hero said with relish.
We are here to see Bjorn,
Claire corrected. She hesitantly placed a foot on the steps, as if still expecting an ambush. When none came, she joined them at the landing with a brusqueness meant to hide her nerves.
Library business.
One black brow on Arlid's narrow face arched, hopefully.
A jewel?
No, thank you, Claire responded before Hero could weigh in. Just as well. Trading blows with Arlid was a refreshing break, but Hero had no desire to spill his blood to Uther, the Valhalla gatekeeper, again. Claire crossed her arms.
I believe we've already proven ourselves to the realm's standards.
Arlid responded with a sullen look that could only mean agreement. She shrugged, turning her back as the shaggy mane of her mohawk began to shift into a mess of feathers again.
Tricksy you are, paper boy and book girl. I'll be watching you.
There was an imprecise moment when the space that consisted of Arlid seemed to be some horrifying conglomeration of leather, claws, feather, and bone. Then the air made a popping noise, and a large black raven spiraled up to the rafters again, leaving Hero and Claire at the door. Hero shook imaginary dust off his shoulders and retrieved his folded coat from Claire.
Well, I feel welcome, don't you?
Ask me after we've run the gauntlet of Vikings.
Claire heaved on the handle of one of the great doors, succeeding in squeaking it open by inches. With Hero's help, she slipped inside, and they left the cackle of raven laughter behind them. There was a match going on in the long hall when they entered. The immediate crash of steel and roar of spectators made Claire flinch, which cooled any interest Hero might have had in gawking at the competitors. He made use of his height to scan over the shaggy heads of the crowd. A circle of drummers was gathered around one of the many fires banked throughout the hall, but Bjorn was not among them. Hero nudged Claire.
His office, maybe?
Claire nodded her assent and didn't appear to notice when Hero slid up on her right side, casually positioning himself between Claire and the trio of hirsute old men eyeing them. He recognized the look of a man trying to drink up the confidence to be obnoxious.
Claire!
Bjorn industriously picked his way around the clutter. He was surprisingly agile for an old man who appeared to be mostly beard and sinew. Hero would give him that. The old Norseman swept Claire up in a mead wild hug, which Claire allowed with a surprising level of tolerance. She only subtly straightened her blouse when he put her down again.
Bjorn, you look well,
Claire said, which was accurate if well was a pickled liver and a grin that missed two teeth.
Takes more than a fussed up Valkyrie to get rid of me.
Bjorn gave a gap-toothed grin. He leaned back expansively in his chair.
What brings Hell's Library to my doorstep? No angry angels at your heels this time, I hope.
No, we left him home to mind the shop,
Hero said brightly, just to watch Bjorn do a double take.
What?
It is a very long story. Suffice it to say that your assistance last time was fruitful,
Claire cut in, reserving a scolding frown for Hero.
Why we are here is a slightly more pressing matter. Perhaps we could speak in your wing?
Bjorn shifted his surprise from Hero to Claire, then his eyes narrowed. He ran a finger down his beard skeptically.
You want to see Valhalla's wing? Whatever for. Library business,
Hero said, in a tone that ended the argument. Bjorn's eyes were a faded blue, and crow's feet multiplied around the edges as he considered.
You're up to something, lad. Hell is always up to something.
We're not here on behalf of Hell,
Claire said quietly. I can promise you that much. Bjorn's chair creaked on old joints. Finally, he heaved to his feet again.
Fine. But only because I trust Claire here. Not every wing takes to visitors like your unwritten one.
If the unwritten wing, with its wards and its locks, was considered the hospitable wing of the library, Hero thought they were in for a bigger challenge than he'd originally estimated.
We'll be discreet as possible. Claire lied attractively. Hero would give her that.
Bjorn made a grunt that expressed his opinion on that likelihood.
Fine. But if we're going to the Anwan wing, I'm going to need me another drink.
Bjorn took his sweet time securing an ale from the main hall. When he finally extracted himself from the crowd, at least he was carrying two smaller mugs as well. He handed Hero a simple cup and Claire something that looked like a rough-thrown tea mug. Bjorn drained his pint in one enormous pull, deftly managing to allow only a dribble to escape into his beard. Hero and Claire took more polite sips as they followed the Norseman around the edge of the hall and through a door down an unfamiliar corridor. Hero couldn't hide his surprise when Bjorn opened another door and ushered them out into the valley behind the longhouse. Night had fallen in Valhalla. According to whatever internal clock a realm held to, Hel didn't so much have a night as a point in each day when Claire and Hero groused that their human-like brains needed a break. The air was sharp with pine and frost. Grass crunched under Hero's boots, and torchlight reflected in Claire's dark eyes and turned her skin to bronze. No tricks, Bjorn, Claire said warily, but he shook his head.
No, not a trick, lass. The Anwan wing prefers a bit of distance, you might say. Better for everyone, really.
Bjorn guided them through a field that had no visible path. As Hero's eyes adjusted to the dark, he could see they were skirting the lake they'd encountered their first time through. Gods, a romp that already seemed ages ago. When Hero had mostly been preoccupied with the many ways he could lift his book and give Claire the slip. Now he kept track of her in the dark as they approached a line of trees. The torch made shadows jump and stutter in ways that reminded Hero too much of the Raven Roads. He had the irrational fear that if he didn't keep close track of Claire, the dark would snare and steal her away. Yes, very different from before. Claire frowned. I thought Valhalla's wing was unwritten sagas. Great war heroics, or something like that.
Something like that.
Bjorn's voice had a somber quality that would have raised a red flag in anyone. Hero exchanged a cautious look with Claire, but she waved him on. Understood. Not my place to question a librarian's curation. Besides, Claire forced a tight smile that was more of an accusation. We trust each other, don't we, Bjorn?
Easy, lass. You'll see what I mean in a moment.
Bjorn led them through a forested thicket in silence, following no discernible path. Finally, Hero strained his ears and heard running water a second before they broke through the bush. Water cascaded from a small rise, down a jagged frame of stones, into a small basin that wicked away to a stream.
The Anwan wing is just behind the waterfall, Bjorn said,
pausing to kick off his boots by the side of the stream.
There's nothing there but stone,
Hero stated the obvious. There was the hint of an alcove beyond, but the moving water reflected the moonlight well enough to show it was nothing but a depression worn down by water.
He don't learn too fast, does he?
Bjorn asked Claire philosophically. He gestured to the riverbank, and Claire made a face before crouching down to start unlacing her sneakers.
Must get by on his looks.
Looks can be deceiving. Hero might surprise you, Claire said as she straightened.
Hero absolutely did not acknowledge the small pool of warmth inside at the idea of Claire defending his intelligence. It was a very British kind of emotional defense, but Hero would take it. They were waiting on him, Hero realized. He unbuckled his boots, snatching Claire's sneakers from the dirt to stack next to his boots higher up on the bank. Really, good leather should not be risked.
Are we just
waiting?
Through the waterfall,
Bjorn said with a nod.
I think you'd want to avoid bringing the damp into the wing, Claire said, scandalized.
The ring doesn't mind,
Bjorn said, lips pressed into a fine line again.
Now, are you two going to stand around belly aching, or are we going in?
We're going in.
Claire squared her shoulders, but flinched as her foot splashed into the river. The wide fabric of her trousers began to darken and wick up water.
Really, the one time when skirts would be efficient and...
The rest of her complaint was lost under the roar of the waterfall. One moment, Hero could make out the water pelting over her shoulders, soddening her shirt to cling to her curves. Hero was not too much of a gentleman to notice, thank you very much, but in the next breath, the waterfall held nothing but rock and freezing water. Hero turned to look at Bjorn, who simply grinned that demented old man grin at him. Bjorn twirled his hand in invitation.
Oh, hell,
Hero muttered, bracing himself as he waded in. The water was just this side of ice, freezing even as Hero's bare feet appeared to find every sharp stone in the basin. He gritted his teeth and, knowing how the insane logic of the afterlife worked, charged through the waterfall into what appeared to be a stone cliff face. It was reflex to close his eyes as the icy water closed over him. Hero half expected the sudden crunch of his face against granite, but abruptly, the roar of the waterfall, if not the cold, was gone. Hero opened his eyes, then blinked, to make sure they were open. The darkness of the space they were in was absolute. He jumped when a cold hand slipped into his.
Hero,
Claire said, somewhat allaying the adrenaline that had dumped into his system. He could recognize her hand in his now, smooth but calloused at the fingertips from constant busy work, first with books, then with artifacts that sometimes bit back. Her hand was freezing, though. He gripped it by reflex, though his weren't much warmer.
Where in the realms?
A sudden roar, then a popping sound interrupted him with a cold draft at his back. Bjorn bit back a hoot as he shook the water from his beard. Icy droplets hit Hero in the face.
Whew! That gets your blood going, all right.
His voice was pitched low, but still rang loud in the darkness.
I don't suppose you brought a torch through that,
Hero said ruefully.
Or a towel, Claire added.
There will be a fire up ahead,
Bjorn answered vaguely. Almost as he said it, Hero could detect a shift in the blackness. A glimmer of a shadow outlined a bend in the walls ahead of them, limned by the reflection of what could be firelight.
Fire. In a library.
Claire sounded as if she was starting to get a headache.
First, the unsaid wing has a bloody pool, and you keep a fire. I can't.
Lower your voices, if you don't mind.
Bjorn cut her off, despite being the loudest of the three of them. Hero felt him brush by and pat Claire's shoulder.
The wing is a bit fragile, you might say. Better to maintain quiet.
Rarely was Claire the one to be told to keep quiet. Hero studied her as she pressed her lips into a thin line, as if to keep the rest of that sentence from spilling out. Bjorn nodded approval before raising his hand to guide them down the hallway. Hero trailed his fingers along the cold stone in the dark as a means to orient himself. If there was one thing he had learned about libraries, it was that it was very easy to get lost and end up somewhere you hadn't quite intended to go. The presence of dark and leaping firelight made this one seem particularly untrustworthy.